May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 199. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, O fix me on it, mount of God's unchanging love. 199.
Thank you.
Let us read from Acts chapter 4. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, the first 30 verses. Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, or by what name, have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marvelled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of all the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, 'Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things?' The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer. O Lord, we seek grace and the bedewing of the Holy Spirit, that we may come to the footstool of mercy and humble ourselves there. Lord, that thou wilt put real prayer within our breasts, that shall ascend into the ears of the Most High. Oh, do grant that we may come clinging and cleaving to the name of Jesus Christ as our only hope of acceptance with thee. Lord, we would know this dear Saviour as our Saviour. Him to whom all power is given in heaven and in earth, and who has power to forgive sins. For we long to know that he is ours, and we are his, that thou hast put us in the bonds of that everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, that we might be saved with an everlasting salvation. Though, Lord, we can bring thee nothing but sin and disgrace. Oh, how we have to feel with the hymn writer. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it, seal it from thy courts above. Oh, that thou wouldest work a mighty wonder in our hearts, the healing of all our backslidings, of all our sins and iniquities, that thou wouldst make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, we pray for a work of grace in our souls. Lord, that day is coming very soon to each one of us, when we must stand at thy judgment seat. O prepare us. O grant that we may be found among that number who are healed by the wounds of Jesus, that they are as a balm to heal us of all our departings from thee. Lord, we fall before thee in that confession. O grant that it may be a true confession. From the depths of our heart, we are all unrighteousness. There is no good thought in us, no good deed, unless thy Spirit reign within. And so we pray, Lord, for the power of thy precious blood, sprinkled upon our consciences, to heal us of all our iniquities. Oh, that we might see Jesus in the sinner's place, giving his life for our life. Open our eyes, Lord. May it please thee to draw near today. May it please thee to bless many souls here. Oh, if it might please thee, may not one be left out of the secret of eternal life. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou wilt work, and who shall let it? That the power of the Holy Ghost may be felt in our souls, that thy love to us from all eternity may be shed abroad in many hearts. O Lord, we gather without one of thy servants this morning, but wilt thou still make thy word powerful in our hearts? We pray for a blessing upon that which shall be read, that thou wilt help our brother. But Lord, may the Holy Ghost be with us
Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. And may there be signs following, those evidences that thou hast not forsaken us, nor taken thy candlestick of truth from among us. Oh, how awful if we meet together in form, but there is no power of the Holy Ghost felt in our hearts. How awful if we follow blindly after those things which our fathers loved for the truth's sake, those things which were burned in their hearts by thee. Oh, how awful if we know nothing of the power. Arise, arise, O God of light, and put the hosts of hell to flight. O Lord, do great wonders in our midst, as that wonder that was wrought upon the man of old. Lord, thou didst show him healing of body, that he might stand up and walk by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. May that same power be put forth in our lives. Oh, we mourn because of our sins, because of the hardness of our hearts, because we have so few thoughts of thee. Lord, we mourn because of that spirit which despises the word of God, which despises the God of heaven. Lord, if someone asks us about it, we would say we love thee. But oh, when we sin against thee, it is sins against thy love, thy blood, sins against light and knowledge, sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. Lord, we long to know that thou didst bear away our iniquities, that they were laid upon thee in the garden of Gethsemane, that thou mightest bear them away by giving thy life on the cross of Calvary. And so we pray, Lord, descend from heaven, speak to our souls, open our eyes, lead us in thy truth, and teach us, and make us teachable, Lord. We pray for each soul gathered here, that there may be a word in season for their cases, those things that they have laid at the throne of grace before they came into the sanctuary. Oh, that there might be an answer of peace, that it might be son or daughter. Go on, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee, that thou hast put their names in thy book of life. And Lord, we pray that in all the hard things of this life that we have to walk through, we may have a light upon the road that leads us to the Lamb, that all these things are sent in love and mercy, not to cut us off eternally, but to correct us, to chasten us, to cause us to see those things wherein thou art correcting us, and to lead us to fall before thee with weeping and with supplication. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, and we shall be turned. We pray, Lord, for those who cannot gather with us. We remember those who are at home. We pray that thou wilt remember them in sickness and in old age, and draw near. Make thyself very precious to them. Lord, all their salvation and all their desires. Oh, that each one of us might be found in that place, longing to know thee, and that thou hast saved us by thy blood, that when we come to that great day of assize, the day of judgment, thou wilt own us in that day for thine, that thou hast known us in this life, and canst not say unto us, Depart, I never knew you. We pray for those of ours who are away on holiday, that thou wilt grant them a refreshing change, and as that wherever they meet today, that the word may be with power, with unction and with savour in their hearts, and that thou wilt work to show them that thou art dealing with them in love and mercy, and preparing each one for a never-ending eternity. We would thank thee for the sunshine. Lord, thou didst send a long period of rain, and we mourn because of thy judgments in this regard. The land needed rain, but Lord, in the end, it was a judgment for all the things that thou dost see wrong. And we thank thee for thy promise that seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, shall not fail. And we pray that it might be thy pleasure yet to grant a bountiful harvest, and that the praise and the honour and the glory may redound to thy name. But, O Lord, we mourn the withholding of thy Spirit amongst us, and we ask, O Lord, wilt thou grant a plenteous rain in our souls? We come before thee with confession of all those things which have grieved thee in our own hearts. Oh, that thou wouldest grant us a spirit of wrestling prayer for all the things that are wrong, wrong in our own hearts, wrong in the nation. Lord, thou art able to do all things. There is nothing impossible with thee. And as these terrible things come upon us as a nation, we ask that we might each be given a true spirit of wrestling, prevailing prayer with the Most High God, that he will grant deliverance, that he will make crooked things straight, that he will show that I am God and there is none else. Lord, the things that are coming to pass are too awful to name in our nation, but restore, O Lord. Do grant that there may be a turning of the hearts of the people, once more to seek the living God, if it might please thee. But Lord, even if it be not that, yet thou hast the hearts of the most wicked of men in thy hand, and we pray that thou wilt turn them to see things differently, and if it please thee, Lord, that there might be more, a restoration in grace, a turning again to seek thee in spirit and in truth. Now do grant us true worship. Do grant, Lord, that this enemy of our souls may be kept from us as we are met together in thy house this morning. Bless thy word. Get to thyself the praise. And Lord, do grant the pardon of all our sins. We ask in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 751. The Saviour lives no more to die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. 751. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Ramsbottom, and you will find the text in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and the first three words of verse 2. Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, the first three words, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. These closing chapters in the Epistle to the Hebrews deal with a very important point, and that is the point of continuing, carrying on, enduring. There has been all the doctrine, the precious truths opened up, the glories of Christ's everlasting priesthood. But these closing chapters are more practical, and not least this solemn point of enduring to the end. There are many who begin well, or seem to begin well, but they do not continue, they do not endure, and so they prove that their religion never had a right beginning. Where religion has a right beginning, it will continue. It will endure. Oh, but the many, many exhortations to us to continue, to persevere, to endure. Now, these early Hebrew Christians were under dreadful temptation to turn back to the Jewish religion. They knew that the law was given by God to Moses. They knew that the ceremonial law had been revealed at Sinai. But now they were no longer keeping it. They were under dreadful persecution, dreadful temptation to go back. Because of this, so much in the Epistle to the Hebrews, these exhortations that they must not turn back. It is fatal. If they go back, they will perish. If they go back, they will perish eternally. And so, at the beginning of chapter 12, the Christian life is compared to a race. You can think of it in different ways. A long-distance race, or a race with obstacles which have to be surmounted. But the point is not falling out during the race, not getting weary, not giving up, continuing to the end. So run that ye may obtain. So you notice these beautiful verses 1 and 2 follow that interesting chapter, Hebrews 11, the account of the worthies, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. All these are those who ran the race. They ran it by faith. They persevered. They endured. They reached heaven at last. So our chapter begins. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. They ran the race. They persevered. They reached heaven. Now we are surrounded by them. They have gone before. The great cloud of witnesses. We are followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. They are left to us as an example. The example that is set before us. So we too are to run this race set before us. They ran the race set before them. But how are we to run it? Not looking to them, not praying to them, not depending on them, looking unto Jesus. Now it is in this way that this beautiful, blessed, sacred truth is set before us. The secret of endurance, the secret of continuing to the end, the secret of perseverance, the only secret, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus in one or two different ways. The Lord Jesus as our example. He ran the race set before us. He was tried and tempted too. He endured to the end. He suffered being tempted. But spotless, innocent and pure, the great Redeemer stood, while Satan's fiery darts he bore, and did resist the blood. And because he endured, his people will endure. So they are to look to him, follow his example. As our hymn writer sings, they marked the footsteps that he trod, his zeal inspired their breast, and following their incarnate God, possessed the promised rest. We have to follow our incarnate God, looking unto him. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. But now he is set down at the right hand of God. And has he not his promise passed that thou shalt overcome at last? Let us too run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Our eyes fixed on him, our glorious example, the one who has gone before, our desire, our hope, our prayer, to reach heaven at last, to come where Jesus is. They tell me that in ancient times, and do not forget that Paul was writing at a time when the Olympic Games were being established, and there are so many of his references to running a race or fighting in the arena, but I understand these races were different from ours. There was not a finishing tape at the end, but there was a man who was the judge, and he stood at the end, and they had to come where that man was. So as they endured to the end, they had to be looking for that man. They had to have their eyes upon him. They had to keep their eyes fixed upon him. So it was that man, and there is a man at the end of our race, a glorious man, that man who shall be our peace. Oh, it is to keep our eyes fixed on him. It is looking unto Jesus. It is to come where Jesus is. It is that man, that glorious man, who bled and died for sinners, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. It is him, but it is none but Jesus. Oh, but it is to keep your eyes fixed on him. Life with its path before us lies. Christ is the way, and Christ the prize. It is looking unto Jesus. It is, as Paul says in another place, forgetting those things which are behind. There is only one thing that really matters. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now it is the only thing that matters. It is something that is real. It is something that is important. It is something that is vital. That is why here he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You cannot run this race if you are encumbered by your sins. You have to lay them aside. Then there are some things in our lives which are not really sins. They are not wicked, but they are not any help. They are no help at all in the Christian race. To illustrate, there is a man, he's perhaps a businessman. He lays aside his briefcase, his tie, and his stiff collar. There's nothing wrong with a briefcase, nothing wrong with a tie and a stiff collar, but he does not want them if he is going to run in a race. Have you ever had anything in your life you felt it was not wrong, but you felt it was not for the honour or glory of God? It is looking unto Jesus. his example. He has gone before. It is looking unto Jesus for help in your race, for support, for supplies, for strength, for grace. That is the only way you can continue, the only way you can endure. It is looking unto Jesus. There is a third thing. First, it is looking unto Jesus as your example in the race. Secondly, it is looking unto Jesus for all you need in your race. But the third thing, and the apostle opens this up at some great length, it is looking unto Jesus in the sorrows and disappointments and trials that there are in the race. Now, quite a number of you have these things that are troubling you. The sorrows, the disappointments, the problems, the perplexities. Now it is looking unto Jesus in these things for help and in submission and in prayer. The apostle puts it like this: consider him that endured. You are called to endure, and there will be problems and difficulties and sorrows and perplexities and disappointments you will be called to endure. You have not to stumble. You have not to turn back. You have not to falter. You have not to fall. Consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now perhaps some of you think of things in your life, in your family, in your circumstances, your troubles, your disappointments, your fears. The thing is, lest you be weary. Do you feel weary with it? Lest you faint in your minds. Do you feel faint in your mind? Well, it is looking unto Jesus like this, in submission, and for help, and for encouragement, so that you do not sink, so that you do not fall. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Of course, when we use this word contradiction, we usually mean arguing with someone or talking with them. The biblical meaning is these things that come against you. Do you feel you have things that come against you? Great things, small things. Well, what did the Lord Jesus have that came against him? Consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You think you cannot bear it. It is so hard, so bad. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood. The Lord Jesus did. It is considering him. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Well then, this vital point of continuing, enduring. May that prayer be yours and mine. Lord, hast thou made me know thy ways? Conduct me in thy fear, and grant me such supplies of grace that I may persevere. The great point of enduring, continuing, persevering to the end, the secret, the only secret, looking unto Jesus in those three ways. Your glorious example, the one who supplies your need, the one who himself endures such contradiction of sinners, when you are called to endure such things. Well then, beloved friends, I mention these things to set the text in its context and open up the meaning and the teaching of the apostle here. Of course, this is a very blessed, beautiful word. In one way, it is a vital word, a most important word, and there is everything in it, the whole of the Christian life. If you will, this is what faith is, living faith, saving faith, the faith that takes a sinner to heaven. This is where every believer is brought, every sinner saved by grace is brought to look to Jesus. So as we come to ponder over these three beautiful blessed words, only three, the most important of them all, Jesus, the sweetest sound that was ever heard on earth, we think of that time when Mary was told that name Jesus. We think of the time when Joseph was told that name Jesus. And when the angel made that wonderful declaration, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Of course, you all know what the name of Jesus means. It means the Saviour. So that is the vital point. It is the Saviour. Looking unto Jesus, the Saviour. If words mean anything at all, if you and I look to Jesus the Saviour, then we look to him for many things, but we look to him for salvation. Looking unto Jesus. I hope there are many of you here who from an honest heart can say, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Perhaps you feel you cannot say much. You dare not say much. But you do know you like to read about the Lord Jesus, to sing about him and hear of him. Perhaps some of you cannot explain it. But when you hear the name of the Lord Jesus and what he has done, there is something seems to spring out of your heart. You know what the Word of God means when it says, the name of the Lord Jesus is as ointment poured forth. If you went into a room and there was a most beautiful aroma, perhaps from a lovely scented rose, you would find it hard to explain or write down or analyse it. But you know what it is. There is no mistaking it. With a living soul, it is something like that with the Lord Jesus. Have you ever been in a room and there is an artificial flower? It is so beautiful you can hardly tell the difference. But if you smell it, there's no scent, no aroma. That is the difference between life and death. The savour of life and the savour of death. What it means and what it does not mean. I hope there are a few of you, you girls and boys, you children, and you feel there is something very sacred, something very precious in the name of Jesus. Well, it is looking unto Jesus, but do not forget Jesus the Saviour, Jesus who brought salvation. We have many, many needs, and we constantly feel it. But beloved friends, our great need is salvation. We have sinned against God. We are guilty. We have broken his law. He is our judge. One day we must give an account, and we need to be saved from the awful guilt of sin and from sin's everlasting penalty, that just condemnation forever and ever. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, we need to be saved from that. And daily we need to be saved from the power of sin, that sin may not have dominion over us. We do need a Saviour. We do need that great salvation. It is looking unto Jesus for many things. It is looking unto Jesus for everything. But the most important thing, the vital thing, looking unto Jesus for salvation, and that is by faith. Now tell me, have you got eyes to look? Thousands have not. Millions have not. If the Lord gives you seeing eyes, if he opens your blind eyes, you will see many things. You will see many things you never saw by nature. You will see many things you never saw before. You will see how vain and empty this world is. You will see how blessed God's people are. You will see how awful it is to be left among a world that lies in wickedness. But you will see such a need in your own heart. You will see such sin, such vileness. My best is stained and dyed with sin. My all is nothing worth. You did not always see it, did not always realise it, but you do now, and you want a saviour. Well, it is this: pour not on thyself too long. You need to pour on yourself long enough. Some people do not pour on themselves at all. Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind as strong, mercy joined with power. It is looking unto Jesus. That is the way of forgiveness, the way of salvation. That is the way to heaven, and it is the only way. What did we read this morning? There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I understand in the original Greek this word, looking unto Jesus, is hard to be translated. It means looking away from everyone and everything else. It is looking to Jesus only, the way of salvation, the way to heaven. Now the work of the Spirit of God in a sinner's heart is to give him eyes to see, to open his eyes, and to enable him to look to Jesus. Oh, beloved friends, may each of you this morning be enabled by faith to look to Jesus. It is a look of dependence. It is a look of hope. It is a look of expectancy. It is not just looking at Jesus. You can look at someone, but it is completely different if you are looking to them. You have perhaps had that experience sometime in your own life. There has been some responsibility placed on you, and people say, "We are looking to you." They mean depending on you. It is a look of dependence. The whole of your hope, the whole of your dependence, looking unto Jesus. Now I know what some of you are going to say to me. You will say, "I feel so dark. I feel so blind. How can I look?" Well, there is an answer to that. There was once a man called Bartimaeus, and he could not see. He was completely in the dark. He was entirely blind. But he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he did not want Jesus of Nazareth to pass him by. What did he do? He looked to him with blind eyes, with unseeing eyes, and he got the blessing. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He was in the dark, but he wanted mercy. They said, "Jesus of Nazareth," but he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, the promised Messiah, the one who can open the eyes of the blind." He ventured on him with those sightless, unseeing eyes, but he got the blessing, and then he could see him. The first thing he saw was the Saviour's face, and he followed him in the way. And beloved friends, you will follow him in the way when you get that sight by faith of the Saviour's face. It is looking unto Jesus in dependence, in hope, in expectation. None but Jesus. No one ever looked to Jesus in vain. The way of salvation, the way to heaven, looking unto Jesus. But who is this Jesus? He is the Son of God from all eternity. He is equal with his Father, equal with the Holy Ghost. He is almighty. In creation he spake and it was done. But in matchless love to sinners, he veiled his glory and left heaven for earth. He was born at Bethlehem. He lived a holy life. He fulfilled his Father's law. He brought in an everlasting righteousness. and then he died. No man could take his life from him, but he laid it down. He died on the cross. He died at Calvary. He shed his precious blood that sinners might be saved. He opened up a way of forgiveness, a way to heaven. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended. He ever lives, ever reigns in heaven. He is the Saviour, an almighty Saviour, and ever-living Saviour. His power is the same. His love is the same. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. What is salvation personally? A guilty sinner being brought by faith to look to this risen, almighty Saviour, to look to Jesus, to look to Jesus, kind and strong, mercy joined with power. Looking unto Jesus. So really this is what true faith is. Looking is believing, and believing is looking. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Believing is not just believing that Jesus lived and died and rose again, not just believing who he is. It is looking to him in hope, looking to him in humble trust, looking to him in dependence. So the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ himself, explains to us what believing really is and what looking to him really is. He referred to that remarkable event in the book of Numbers, when the children of Israel were bitten by fiery flying serpents, and much of the people died. Now whatever means they tried, whatever remedy, it did not avail. It was a deadly poison, and there was no cure. Moses cried to God, and God himself provided the remedy, the answer. Moses was to make a snake, a serpent of brass. He had to put it on a pole, bid the dying look to it, in dependence, in hope, in expectancy, away from everything else. And the promise was that as many as looked should live. Now it was a strange remedy, but it was the remedy God appointed, and it was the only remedy. And it worked, it availed, it saved. It was looking to that serpent of brass. Now, said the Lord Jesus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, that is Jesus, be lifted up. In his death on the cross, in his glorious resurrection, in the preaching, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, all those who by faith look to Jesus in dependence, hope, expectancy, to Jesus only, away from everything else, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now that is the explanation by the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ himself of what living faith is, saving faith is, what looking to Jesus is. Our hymn writer sings, Jesus thus for sinners smitten, wounded, bruised, serpent bitten, to his cross directs their faith. It is the only way. The Lord Jesus, an almighty Saviour, able to save even to the uttermost. And the Lord Jesus, a willing Saviour. It is looking to the cross of Christ. It is looking to the wounds of Jesus. I have often told you of Luther in darkness, blackness and despair in that German monastery, not knowing what to do, where to look, wearing himself out by his own fruitless works. There was a visitor to the monastery named Staupitz who showed an interest in him. He did not know much himself, but he said, Brother Martin, look to the wounds of Jesus. That is it. Looking to Jesus, to the cross, looking to Jesus risen, exalted, glorified, looking to his precious blood to cleanse from all sin, looking to the riches of his mercy, looking to his everlasting love, looking to his exceeding great and precious promises, the way of salvation, the way to heaven, the only way. I have often said that in the wilderness, as the serpent of brass was lifted up on the pole by Moses, there must have been those who were close at hand who could see all the marks, all the engraving on it. But the camp of Israel extended a long, long way. There must have been those on the extremity of the camp who could hardly see anything at all, especially those who were wounded, those who were dying. But as many as looked, lived. Oh, the value of it. What did it mean to Jonah in the whale's belly? If ever a man was in an extremity, if ever a man was perishing without hope and mercy, he was. Yet I will look again. One last look. With Jonah under that old dispensation, it was to the temple of Jerusalem, which spoke of Christ the priest, the sacrifice, the blood. I will look again toward thy holy temple. And he did not look in vain. He received the answer. He proved salvation is of the Lord. But see the Lord of glory dying. See him gasping, hearing, crying. See his burdened bosom heave. Look, ye sinners, ye that hung him. Look how deep your sins have stung him. Dying sinners, look and live. Looking unto Jesus. Amen.
Last Lord's Day were £675, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jim Ince will preach this evening, Mr. John Rosier on Friday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, and we hope he will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 364. Happy the church, thou sacred place, the seat of thy Creator's grace. Thy holy courts are his abode, thou earthly palace of our God. Hymn 364.
Lord. We seek thee to forgive us anything that thou hast seen amiss in our service this morning. But, O Lord, our desire is that thou wilt use thy word, that thou wilt make it effectual, that we each one here might be enabled to look unto Jesus, for he lives to supply all his people's needs. Lord, grant us that faith to look to thee in all our needs. Our needs here while here below, but Lord, they will all soon be done. But oh, may we seek thee for those needs for an eternity to come, to know our sins forgiven, our interest in thy blood, and to truly be enabled to say, thou art our Saviour and our Redeemer. O Lord, remember us each one then, and grant that there might be something, even of this service that we have read or sung, that we might take home, that might do us good, to thine own honour and glory. O Lord, remember us each for good. We do pray that thou wilt go before us each through this day, and be our helper still. Enable us truly to consider thee, and come up with us at the close of the day, this evening. Lord, we pray that thou wilt give thy servant that message to bring, and that thou wilt give us each that heart to pray, that thy presence might be known and felt in this house this night, and that there might be that true fruit brought forth to thine own honour and glory. Lord, remember us for good, and bless us indeed. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.